We've been studying recently about Jesus' appearances, many of them, between the day of his resurrection and the time of Pentecost. He appeared to people in Acts 1. You'll read, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And there's 50 days between Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost. And in the last few weeks, we've been studying John 21. And that was just one day of the 40. And in that particular case, he showed himself to seven of his disciples. And we read that in Scripture that our Savior Jesus Christ showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible and undeniable proofs, even at one time witnessed by over 500 plus people during these 40 days. And one of the things that we noted is that Jesus probably didn't miss a day of the 40 when he didn't show himself to someone and or a group of people. I mean, how much does he love us? He didn't want to not be with us. He's with us even now. And the reason we don't have more information is, like the Apostle John told us at the end of chapter 20 and also at the end of chapter 21 in John, there ain't enough room in the world to contain all the books that could be written of just the things Jesus did during the time when John and the disciples were there with him. So there's some more appearances of Jesus that happened after his resurrection that'll take place during these 40 days. And I want you to go to Matthew 26. We'll read verse 32. If you get to Matthew 30, let me know, because those are added verses and chapters. Okay. And this time frame that we just read about and studied last few weeks in John 21, where he appeared to seven of his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, was probably about 2 or 3 weeks after his resurrection, because the region of Galilee is about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, and the country of, or the county, or what a state, however they say it, of Samaria separates Judea, where Jerusalem is, from Galilee. And it takes a while in that day to go 70 miles by foot. We illustrated it by saying how long would it take you to walk to Fort Collins. You know, take a little time. And I wouldn't make it either, Brother Lindsay. But well, I probably eventually would. These guys, these disciples, were a lot younger than we are, I think, most of them, at that point in time. Now, if you got to Matthew 26, 32, Jesus had told his disciples on the night of the Last Supper there in Matthew 26, 32, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And they listened and paid attention to this like the little kids downstairs. They get distracted and would rather be outside playing or something, because they didn't even believe that he would rise again. So they had a hard time digesting all this. And if you'll read on through there, that's where Peter, he said, "Well, you know, I will never forsake you or deny you," and so on. So this hasn't happened yet. That time frame that we read in John 21, I mean, this hasn't happened yet in our studies. It has happened, but not in the time frames we're talking about. In John 21, Jesus had only appeared to seven of his disciples. And I want you to go over to Matthew 28 now. And in Matthew 28, on the first day of his resurrection, we find the angel of the Lord telling the women who first came to the empty tomb these words that are found in Matthew 28:7, and go quickly and tell his disciples, meaning the 11, that he is risen from the dead. And note this, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Note that the angel didn't say they would see him today in Galilee, because as we just mentioned, that's a ways away. And at least a 2 days journey, if not more. So let's go on towards the end of Matthew, and we'll read the last five verses here during the course of this study this morning. And we come to the last red letter words recorded in Matthew, which revealed Jesus appearing in Galilee unto the 11 remaining disciples. And if you study Matthew, note that the writer of Matthew, who was Matthew, one of the disciples, one of the apostles, he doesn't go over a lot of time spending talking about the various appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, with the exception of when he appeared to the women there in verse, in the first few verses of Matthew 28, and this appearance that we'll read about starting in Matthew 28, 16, after his disciples went back into Galilee. It says in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So if he had an appointment with them there in Galilee, they knew where it was. When you have an appointment, you pretty much know what time it is going to be too, right? Otherwise, you're going to miss the appointment. So, and it says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But it also says, but some doubted. Now I want to explain this. The 11 remaining disciples did go up into Galilee to a predetermined mountain Jesus had appointed to meet them. The Greek word for appointed here is tasso, T-A-S-S-O. It's number 5021 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it means the place where Christ appointed a meeting with his disciples in Galilee after his resurrection. So Jesus' disciples knew where this mountain in Galilee was, and they knew when they were to meet him there. And verse 17 notes that some doubted. But this doesn't mean some of the 11 doubted. They did earlier. Thomas doubted. You know that. In John, I think it's the 20th chapter, we find that. Remember, there were always more than just the 12 disciples traveling with Jesus. He had an entourage with him. The people that traveled with him, a lot of them were disciples that followed him for the same length of time that his 12 did. And we'll read more about that when we get to covering Acts, the first chapter. And otherwise, how would they have selected another one to fill in for Judas if he hadn't been somebody who had been with him all this time? So there were always more than just the 12 disciples traveling with him, and quite often there would be a multitude. And hold your place there in Matthew 28 and quickly turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15:6, Paul goes over the different some of the different appearances Jesus made. He even appeared to a guy named Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, but that was after, years after this time frame. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:6, it says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. In other words, some of these people were still alive when Paul was writing about this. They had witnessed, all those had witnessed Jesus. This thought, this is when this time was, there in Matthew 26. Now, go back to Matthew 26. And what Jesus said unto his disciples on this mountain in Galilee is only recorded here in Matthew. And that's a good thing, because all the four gospel records give different perspectives, a different report. And what the Holy Ghost inspired each one to write was a little different. They're not all the same, so we're comparing different portions of Scripture here. And all four gospel records then are divinely inspired by God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God, okay? And it is under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that all Scripture is written. And the Holy Ghost inspired Matthew, of all of the gospel writers, to paint a portrait in his gospel record of Christ as what? King. Christ is king. Okay, that's a different viewpoint than John did, or as Luke did, or as Mark did. And Sister Bodie, if you have her study book on Matthew, she entitled her commentary of Matthew as The Biography of the King. So a lot of the statements that we find written in Matthew pertain to Jesus as the King. And these last three verses of Matthew points to the time when Christ will reign as king. And when will that time be? When will Christ reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It will be during the next age, the kingdom age. We call it the millennium. So with this understanding in mind, we know that Matthew 28:18-20 speaks of the kingdom message. So let's read these verses. It says there, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. How many names was that? One. The name of. Okay, well, that's a different lesson. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. People used to tease me when I was flying and say, you know, the Bible says when you're up in the air, he's not with you. It says, lo, I am with you always. Well, I know that was wrong, because, I mean, he knew what was going on, how to make sure that Ty got the thing back on the ground. And he helps us, you know. The record is still intact as far as airplanes are concerned. They haven't left one up there yet. They've all come down. Some of them controllably and some of them not so much. So these three verses that we just read convey a lot of information. And most of what Jesus said here is prophetic. And it pertains to the regathering of Israel from the world and setting up Christ's kingdom. This will happen during the millennium, the coming kingdom age when Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let me get you to put on your thinking cap for a moment, and I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Did Jesus' 11 remaining disciples who he's talking to here, did they teach all nations? Well, of course they did not. Did Jesus' 11 remaining apostles baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? And we'll go look at this in case you're having a little trouble answering that, because they did not. And so go to Acts 2. The kingdom apostles, these are Jesus' 11 closest followers, with Matthias joining them there in Acts 1, thus making 12. They did baptize, mostly Jews, by 99 point whatever percent Jews. And certainly then, they didn't baptize all nations. And when they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's read this. And this started on the day of Pentecost, which wasn't that far away from this time frame when he met them there on that mountain in Galilee that we're reading about in Matthew 28. Now, I know you're aware of this, that Peter, in Acts 2, he preached his first Holy Ghost-inspired sermon on the day of Pentecost. And under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it was a very powerful sermon. And thousands of Jews from all over the world heard him. Jews from all over the world celebrating Pentecost. And at the end of his sermon, we read in Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Underline that if you don't have it underlined already. Baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 3 verses later, we read in Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And we know they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's quite a service. It was a powerful service, and we'll read about it, Lord willing, when we finally get to Acts 2, and if the Lord tarries that long. Now I want you to go to Acts 8. And this, what we're going to read about, happened at Samaria about 7 years later after the day of Pentecost that we read in Acts 2. And I want you to, let me just go back there, get my Bible on the right page too. There's something you need to see if you haven't already seen it in Acts. In Acts 7, they stoned Stephen to death. And it says in Acts 8:1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, unto Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was," where? "At Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except" who? "The apostles." So where were they? In Jerusalem. Had they gone forth and preached to all the nations? No. No, they didn't. Okay. So, drop down to Acts 8:14. It says, "Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, two of the 12 apostles, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how they baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Turn over to Acts 10. Here's the one time in Scripture we find Peter going to the house of a Gentile. The Gentile's guy's name was Cornelius. And this is where Peter first learned that God is no respecter of persons, and you read that in Acts 10:34. Well, Peter, when he got there, after much encouragement from the Lord, he preached a sermon, kind of. It was a short one, very short. And this is the only time in Scripture where we read of Peter preaching to the Gentiles. And we pick up the story in Acts 10:43. He's speaking of Jesus, and he says, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believed that were with Peter, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know that these Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, verse 46 answers that question, if you have that question. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Peter, he might have been at first a slow learner, but with the power of the Holy Ghost upon him, he learned a little faster. And he said in verse 47, and I'm not trying to throw Peter under the bus because we've talked a lot about Peter, but he's just like the rest of us. It takes a little time sometimes. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So if you'll go back to Matthew 28:19, in all of these examples that we just read, and there's other examples that we didn't look at in Acts, we find Jesus' disciples baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. We once find him baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, as is found stated in Matthew 28:19. And as we discussed earlier, the reason they didn't baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is because they understood it wasn't yet the Lord's anointed time for nations to get saved. It was the time for individuals to get saved. We're still living in that time. It's called the church age. The age of grace, if you want to call it that. In what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 will happen after the church age is over, because Jesus never lied. He always told the truth. So at that point in time, when this church age is over, then Matthew 28:19 will be fulfilled, and it is spoken to the nation of Israel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that will be in the millennium. That will be what will take place in the kingdom age. Now, go to Acts 1, and we'll read verse 3 through 9 very carefully. I know it's a good idea to skim once in a while, but there's also a good idea when you're studying to steady, slow down, steady. Takes a little time to steady. So we're going to read Acts 1, 3 through 9 carefully. And we find Jesus here giving his disciples instructions concerning the kingdom age. And he says it was in the hands of God the Father. Acts 1, 3. This is what we've been referencing about Jesus, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days after his resurrection, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from where? Jerusalem. So sometime they had got back to Jerusalem after seeing him on the mountain there in Galilee, right? Because that's where they were. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me, speaking of the Holy Ghost. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they wanted to ask Jesus this question. And they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So God the Father knows when the time of the kingdom age will begin, and that will be after the time when the church age is over, okay? Verse 8, then Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And of course, we know that was not the case. And you can imagine this starting in Acts 15:7. And when there had been much disputing, I think we're all good at disputing. You get a bunch of Jews together arguing about this, it'd be a much disputing, right? And Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. We read about that this morning in Acts 10 at the house of Cornelius. Verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence. Amazing. Peter was able with his words to silence the multitude. And then they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, who had already completed their first missionary journey. And they declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by then. And after they had held their peace, James, who was the pastor at the church in Jerusalem, he answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, that is Peter, hath declared how God at the first, that means for the first time, did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Look at this closely. God, during this yet present church age, is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a rib portion company that will forever be known as Mrs. Jesus, the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife, a people for his name. And this truly is a people for his name. If you don't see this, pray that the Holy Ghost will reveal this to your own heart. Verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this, meaning after this church age is over and the bride of Christ is taken away, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up. And when will this happen? During the millennium, okay? That the residue of men, and speaking of Israel here, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, this speaks to the Gentiles nationally, not literally to every individual, but as to the nations, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. I want to quote from Brother Copley's study book on Acts here. And he writes, study closely verses 14 through 18. People, and this was in Brother Copley's day when he wrote this, and he died in 1945, so it was before that. People talking of converting the whole world today. They claim very religiously as a whole city for Christ. Despite all the headlines that the whole city turned to the Lord, there is no record of any entire city being saved. The nearest to such a victory was in Paul's time, when it says in Acts 13:44, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of the Lord. And that was back in was that Ephesians or before that? Oh no, that was back in Antioch. Yeah, okay, in Poseida. Brother Copley continues, but did all these people who were there believe? If they did, then why did they expel the apostles from their midst a few weeks later? Because they didn't believe. Bear in mind, Brother Copley continues, that God is only making a visit to the earth during this age, this church age, to gather out a body of people to build a bride for his son. Men look in vain for a worldwide revival in view of ushering in a democratic millennium, and that without Christ. So that's Brother Copley's quoting this. So we spent a lot of time here this morning to explain what Jesus said unto his disciples in Matthew 28:19, that when he met with them on that mountain he appointed to meet them in Galilee, and he said to them things that speak to a time still yet future. Make a note in your Bible that Matthew 28:19 was never fulfilled, but it will be after the tribulation. And we explained why earlier. The last words that are recorded in Matthew is this final statement Jesus made in his appearance to his disciples on that mountain in Galilee, which are found in verse 20. And lo, you read that, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. These words were a promise to his disciples and a promise to all believers. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Has the Lord been with you ever since you accepted him as your Savior? Always? Ah, yeah, okay. The Apostle Paul wrote the same thought in Hebrews 13:5. And in Hebrews 13:5, we read this. Paul writes, let your conversation be without covetousness, or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's equivalent to, lo, I am with you always. Okay, we'll have to pick that up next time, Lord willing.